W-T-H.
What the hell?
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 This is the WTH.
The WTH podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Jason Casey.
Nope.
Jason Casey.
Kareem Daniels.
Kareem Daniels.
And Nate Darling.
Nate Darling.
This is the WTH podcast.
As Meatloaf said, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Jason not with us. Well, I mean, he hasn't passed on or anything, but he's not here because he sent us this message a little bit earlier on today. Let's see. I've scrolled too far. Aha. At 5:11 p.m., not sure if I can make it tonight. CJ hasn't been going to sleep until 8 p.m. I can't leave Chris there by herself. So I didn't quite know what to make of that. So he may roll in at some point. He may not. I just don't know. I'm going to assume not. So we'll continue without him. But that was the message we got about 2 hours before record time. But, meh. What you gonna do? Coming up on the show today, you could win a date with Ted Cruz. Tony Soprano's house is for sale. And how far some people will go to have sex after they have children. All that and more fun stuff. Before we get to all that, Kareem, I know we were at the Sacramento Podcast Festival yesterday. We'll get to that first. So we were on at 3 p.m. on Sunday at the Sacramento Podcast Festival. Want to first say thank you to Stab Comedy Theater and congratulations to Jesse and John as Stab celebrated their first anniversary last Friday. So that coincided with the kickoff of the podcast festival.
It was fun.
It really was. It was fun to do the show in front of an audience. It was a small audience, but it's a small theater. So
yeah,
intimate setting. And shout out to Steven, who was one of the people in the audience. He attended every single podcast all weekend long. So he got his $25 worth.
Yeah.
And that in and of itself is quite an accomplishment because to go through that long. So Sunday, it was from 2 till 10, I believe. And Saturday was even longer.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah. And he did say that we were one that he would listen to.
Yeah. So not every episode. He couldn't commit to that. And that's fine.
Yeah.
We would prefer everybody listen to every minute, you know, just hanging on our every word. But it was good. So, Steven, if you're listening, hello. And we had a few other people in the audience who all laughed and had a good time. So,
yeah,
that's the whole point. You know, when you're listening to the show, you're having a good time. You're hanging out with us. And these people just got to do it in the same room.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a good experience with them, you know, their feedback and the fact that they seemed to enjoy their interaction with us, that they talked to us after the fact. So,
yeah, there were really nice people. And it was a nice event. Looking forward to next year's podcast festival. I assume there will be one. So,
yes. I assume so. Yeah.
Yeah. So, hopefully they'll be able to get her done and go to town on that. So really nice event. It was fun to be a part of it. And if you're in Sacramento, check out Stab's Comedy Theater. They're on Broadway between 17th and 18th. It's a lot of street parking around there that is free. So it's not the hassle of going to, if you're one of those people who doesn't like to go to Midtown because you got to pay for parking and it's a hassle and blah, 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 you can check out Stab. It's a nice, intimate little theater and fun shows. They do improv, stand up and some live podcasts there as well. So check them out whenever you get a chance if you're in Sacramento. Other than that, Kareem, how was your week? I know we talked about this a little bit on the show. That's the funny thing. So the show we recorded at the podcast festival will be made available next Wednesday. So a week from today, we're going to drop that show.
Yeah.
FYI. Other than that, how you been?
I'm tired.
Fair enough.
Exhibit opened on Friday, Sacramento Black Book Fair from 8 to 6. It wasn't from 8 to 6, but I was there from 8 to 6, mm-hmm. running all over the place. Got a lot of good feedback on the project. We got the video up, the 12-minute, I guess I'm going to call it a pre-doc.
Sure, a short.
A short. We got that up. Got some good feedback about that. And I've been sending that to people today to get some feedback. So one of my people, he was like, he really enjoyed the woman's point of view that I put in there. So that was good.
Fair point.
Yeah. And then, went to the surgeon for my mom on Friday. So we got to schedule her surgery here in the next month. And, that'll determine how the rest of my month goes.
That's going to be a crazy time. By the way, exhibit up. They wanted to come up, but they ain't crazy. I in the chamber, gun on top. So the exhibit is at the Brickhouse Art Gallery in Oak Park.
Yes, it's at 36 and Broadway. It's called The Invisible Man, Reclaiming the Image of the Black Father. I got interviewed by the Sacramento Observer on Friday.
Nice.
Thursday. It was Thursday.
And how long is the show open for?
The show is open till June 29th, which will be the closing, and I'll give my art talk on that night. And then on June 20th, we'll show a longer portion of the doc and have a panel discussion featuring Terry Moore, who does community service, who he runs Fathers and Families in Sacramento. And then when I did the ACL with Jason, I found a gentleman who had actually done research on the use of the black male image in media. So he'll be on there, and then a couple of fathers from the community and a couple of the guys that were in the video. So
okay. Cool. Yeah. So check that out. If you're in Sacramento, check that out. It's definitely worth taking a look at. Even if you are the White Devil, go swing by and take a look.
Hey, and actually, I had some White Devils that came by that I didn't know.
Oh, sweet.
So Alex, we did the Davis media interview with Alex. Mm-hmm. And so people saw it and they actually came from that. So
nice.
It was cool.
Nice. Yeah. It's something that I think is important that everyone should take a look at, because as we said before, if you only hear the stereotype, you never get past it.
Yeah.
And sometimes the stereotype is wrong. It's easy to go, oh, it's a stereotype because there's truth to it. Not universal truth necessarily.
Yeah.
So, definitely worth checking out. My week, interesting. It's been crazy running around, been dealing with a dog with heart failure who been to the vet. He's had his abdomen drained a couple of times. He's on a bunch of heart pills, got them updated. And as we're recording this today, he is, looks like he's feeling and seeming a lot better, but his abdomen is filled with fluid again.
Yeah.
And that's from the heart defect that he has.
Well, I know he's not quite back to himself because he didn't bark at me.
No, he was, he's still not 100%. Yeah. And, you know, we'll see if he gets back there or not, but, dealing with all that. And of course we had the comedy festival, and we've been, the quest to find a home for the business for Darling New Media has been crazy. We again thought we had a place, but the place is still not certified for occupancy, so we've had to do something else.
Wow.
Because we can't wait forever,
you know?
It's one of those things where it's like, when
somebody's getting hit it with liquidated damages right now.
Well, I mean, it's all an unfortunate situation, and I think we should just shake hands and part as friends.
That's probably a good
idea. And hopefully that's how it goes.
Yeah.
I'm willing to shake hands and part as friends. Hopefully the other side is, especially since they're the ones who've kind of screwed the pooch on this.
Yeah.
But who knows? All right. We'll start out talking about this. This is something interesting. You sent this to me right after Jason said he wasn't going to be here. The black hotel worker shuts down a woman who called him the N-word while she was begging for a hotel room, which is an odd strategy to me. So I don't know. I mean, it's not how I'd roll. You know, I'd wait until after I was denied. Maybe not even after I was denied, but you definitely hold that one back.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you're just scorched earth. It's not going to go, oh, well.
Man, I'm going to give you a room.
Yeah,
no. That's, you can't, look, there's no backsies on that one.
So here's the audio.
I understand that, but you called me a fucking
I need
nigger.
To stay here. My mother died.
I understand that, but you called me a fucking
I'm sorry.
Nigger. No,
I'm sorry.
You weren't sorry when you said it on the phone.
There was people screaming at home.
At the end of the day, that we live in today, society.
I was sorry.
I understand that, but it's above me now.
I need a room tonight.
Well, there's the Best Western next door.
No, please let me hear. My daughter's here.
I'm sorry, but. I mean, I was on the phone when you said it.
I said, I'm sorry. Please, I've had a horrible day.
And I had a horrible time when hearing that.
He won't let me in.
It's above me. She called me a fucking nigger.
Sir, my grandma just died.
I understand that, but it's above me.
Please let me.
It's above me. Sorry.
I got my credit card.
The Best Western is next door.
Sir, the rest of our family is here.
I understand that, but it's above me.
Please. I apologize.
She said what she said.
I understand that.
She's very sorry.
I love the way he said the Best Western's next door. It's above me.
Yeah, he's just like, you know what? At this point, that ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Gabrielle Union retweeted it, said, "Whew, when those consequences kicked in, hashtag it's above me, hashtag the Best Western."
I have lost a lot of people in my life. That thought has never crossed my mind during that time period.
What, to tell them it's above you?
No, to call them a fucking nigger I don't like to lash out at somebody like that.
Right. I mean, it was on the phone and I don't understand where that would even come from. No matter how stressed out you might be.
Yeah.
Now, the video this guy posted, he had his camera phone obviously sitting up on a desk, on the front desk, and it was pointed at him. So you never see anybody but him. You can hear them, but you never see them.
That's probably his best bet, too.
It really is. Because a lot of times you'll see people like, and they're very confrontational about it. And they're like, you called me this. You called me this. And then it becomes something aggressive, and it makes it easier for people to go, yeah, look at him being aggressive there. He's not being aggressive at all.
Yeah.
And you know, it's hard to put myself in his position because I don't know what someone would say to me that would be on the same level. But,
and then the daughter was like, we lost our grandma. Like that makes us okay.
Yeah. Where did you learn that language?
Yeah.
It was from grandma.
Yeah. Oh, well, we lost our grandma. Like, okay. And
I understand that. And she called me an effing N-word.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, no, can't go. Gotta go.
Not okay. Orlando Jones retweeted it. It's above me. Talk to God about your mother in the hotel room. There's a prayer room at the Best Western next door. Toodles. Yeah, it's,
there's a Bible in the book next. There's a Bible in the nightstand next to the bed.
Yeah. Bad times. I mean, I don't get it. What is your end game? Let's take race out of it for a moment. Even if you're just saying incredibly shitty things on the phone to anybody that you're trying to get a room at a hotel from.
Yeah.
Do you think they've got this big cache of empty rooms and they just don't want to give you one?
Yeah.
Or that they're trying to jack up the rate or whatever it might be. Where do you think you're going to get by cursing someone out like that?
Yeah. And you know, if all the rest of your family's there, then you already know that it's probably full.
Right. Or go, hey, my lovely daughter, can I sleep on the fold out?
Yeah.
Because I called the front desk man the N-word.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so you're gonna see my, I'm gonna see your face, and that's gonna make me change my mind. Like, no.
Oh, but my mother died. He did express remorse. I just don't know what's wrong with people. I do know what's wrong with people. They're racist.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm sorry your mother died, but.
And someone then tweeted, woke up and I have a catchphrase of the summer. I'm going to make shirts with hashtag it's above me on them.
Yeah.
It is above me. So meanwhile, we mentioned a couple, you know, attempting to have sex after having kids. And this is why it's a real bummer that Jason isn't here. An Iowa couple was just trying to have some sexy time alone. And they went about it in a really weird way. They actually left their young children home alone while they were having sex in the middle of a bike trail.
Okay.
That's according to police. Rebecca, and bless you, Rebecca Mecca and Daniel Walsher, who are 31 and 32 respectively, were arrested around 1 a.m. when a patrolman discovered them lying on the ground in a park in North Liberty, which is an Iowa City suburb. Specifically, an arrest affidavit notes that Walsher's pants were at his ankles, while Mecca was on top of him completely nude. The duo were both intoxicated. The pair told police that they had left their children alone at Mecca's North Liberty home. Walsher's son is 3, while Mecca's daughter is 9. The patrolman reported both these children can clearly not fend for themselves. That was also from the arrest report. They were arrested for child endangerment, which is an aggravated misdemeanor, and public intoxication. Walsher, whose blood alcohol content was more than 2 times the legal limit, reportedly told cops he had consumed several glasses of boxed wine. The couple is locked up in the Johnson County Jail in advance of a court appearance. So,
if you're going to have sex outside, make sure you have accessible clothing.
Oh, yeah. And don't leave your 3 and 9-year-olds home alone.
No.
I mean,
that means like a tennis skirt and.
Yeah. And do it out on the lawn right out front.
Yes.
That's what if you really need to do that. Oh, and here's the other thing. No more boxed wine for you.
Yeah.
No more boxed wine for you. It doesn't lead to anything good. All right. So I don't know how this is a great idea. I don't know how it's appealing at all. But Texas Senator Ted Cruz posted on social media last Friday night that he's offering a chance to win a date with himself. The fundraising effort comes on the final day of May and hit the post hit 5 hours before the deadline. Cruz has offered a barbecue dinner with him in Houston sometime in the future if his Twitter followers responded within the 5-hour window. You, me, and barbecue in Houston, Texas. Enter tonight before midnight, and you can get your chance dinner in Houston. Wow. I don't know if I'm more disturbed by that or the couple having sex on the bike trail.
Yeah.
I mean, Ted Cruz is married and I'm sure it's something, but it's a weird fundraiser. It didn't actually kickstart before the Friday deadline. It began Tuesday when he tweeted, "We're kicking off our hashtag Cruz Crew spring fundraising drive, and we set up a very special opportunity. One lucky supporter and their guest will have dinner with Ted in Houston, Texas. Any donation of $5 or more will get you into the contest. Donate below to be entered automatically." I believe that qualifies as a lottery, which is not legal because there is a prize. There is chance. The 3 elements of lottery are prize, chance, and consideration. So that's why when you have like a radio station or a TV station that's giving something away, you never have to pay to enter because that's the consideration that you give. The prize, yes, it's dinner with Ted. The chance, only one person is going to win, one person and a guest. So obviously there's chance.
Yeah.
And there's consideration because you have to donate $5 or more to be entered in this thing. So Ted Cruz is operating a lottery. Which I believe, unless they've changed all the rules, is illegal. I'm just saying.
send them to jail.
The Ted Cruz lottery. The Ted Cruz barbecue lottery. Sign up today and have barbecue with Ted Cruz in Houston. I don't know why that would be a appealing thing. I mean, I think he shaved his weird Wolverine beard. So there's that.
Yeah.
I mean, I would enter to win that just to ask him, how do you stand there and support someone who said all of the horrible things that Donald Trump said about you and your family?
Yeah. Like, how do you square that with yourself?
How do you as a man?
Yeah.
And a father square that up and be able to go, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I mean,
your wife, is she still having sex with him at this point?
I'd rather not think about that. I mean, who knows? That's neither here nor there. But Donald Trump said that Ted Cruz's dad was part of the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
Amongst other terrible things. I just don't get it. And then you're just going to roll out with him and go, yeah, this is great. I mean, I know you got to hold your nose and eat some shit to be in politics.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other level. All of these people who've cozied up to President Trump after he was just obnoxiously brutal to them.
Yeah.
In all sorts of ways is beyond me.
Like, how do you not punch him in the face every time you see him?
Right. Well, it's not like you're getting this huge benefit back for your constituents either.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it sucks. I got to do this. But, you know, my district is getting all of this. No, that's not happening either.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It is so, so freaking weird.
Let's leave the.
No, that's not that yet.
Florida, land of enchantment. And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Got ahead of myself there. I was like, hey, it's time to end the show. No, it's not. Well, this is the headline. After a brief rain, toilet snake is replaced by kitchen alligator as Florida's king of the reptiles. That's right. Sorry, toilet snake. You'll hear about toilet snake next Wednesday. You've been replaced by kitchen alligator. Police were called early in the morning to a Clearwater, Florida residence after the homeowner reported an 11-foot alligator broke into the condo via a ground-level window. The window.
It broke in.
Through the window. The 3 a.m. home invader was subsequently corralled by a trapper, but not before the alligator toppled furniture and broke a bottle of wine. Oh, see, that's why you get the boxed wine.
Yeah.
Then the alligator can't break it. Cops reported that there were no injuries during the incident. The Clearwater home where the alligator briefly resided is adjacent to the 11th green at the Gary Player designed Countryside Country Club. The hole includes a large lake from which the alligator may have emerged for a late night snack.
Gary Player needs to put his, he needed to put that somewhere else.
Well, don't blame Gary Player. Blame the fool who bought a condo next to a water hazard in Florida. Just saying. Also in Florida, headline ex-con busted for hitting his mother in the head with a thrown corn cob. This will shock you. He is white. His name is Cody Cummins. He's 27. He's unemployed. He's an unemployed cook. He was beaming when he posed for a mugshot, smiling from ear to ear. Following his arrest for allegedly hitting his mother in the head with a corn cob Saturday night. According to cops, Cummins intentionally and unlawfully threw a corn cob, that struck the 56-year-old woman in the head. The victim was hurt but did not have any physical injuries. Well, then how was she hurt?
So where is it lawful to throw a corn cob and hit somebody in the head at?
Oh. I mean, is the unlawful act the throwing the corn cob or the hitting someone with it?
I think it's the hitting.
Okay. So, anyway, the incident characterized as domestic battery by cops occurred in Tampa. Yeah, where he lives with his mom. He fled the residence after allegedly flinging the corn cob and was arrested at around 3:30 a.m. Sunday. He's being held in county jail in lieu of a $150 bond. By the way, his rap sheet includes armed burglary, conviction for which he spent more than 3 years in state prison. Last year, his mother received a temporary domestic violence injunction against him, though that action was voluntarily dismissed 2 weeks after it was filed.
Of course it was.
Well, maybe she deserved to get hit in the head with a corn cob.
Exactly. You can't hit me in the head with a corn cob and live in my house. What's wrong with you?
Well, she should have known it was coming, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all it. And that's going to do it for Florida Corner for this time. By the way, if you would love to support the show, we would appreciate it if you did your Amazon shopping through the Shop Amazon tab at the top of WTHpod.com. It helps support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra. There's also that Shop Target tab up there, too, where you can shop the Red Bullseye, either pick it up at the store or have it delivered to you. And again, no extra cost. Helps out the show. So thanks in advance for doing that. All right. So I found this interesting article, and I had just started rewatching The Sopranos again because I'm up at weird hours of the night with the baby.
Yeah.
And I mean, what other program would be great for that? I mean, I don't let her watch. So
no, she might learn some tricks.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I need. But Tony Soprano's house is now on the market. The owners of the 5,600 square foot New Jersey home have set a starting price of $3.4 million. And I said, wow, that is expensive.
3.4.
Now, the house that Tony Soprano called home is listing for sale 20 years after its television debut. It is in North Caldwell, New Jersey, where America's favorite fictional mobster scooped up his morning paper, swam with the ducks. It's being listed for sale by the owners Patty and Victor Recchia at a starting price of $3.4 million. It's on a 1.5-acre lot. It includes the main house with four bedrooms and four full bathrooms and a powder room, two-car garages, and a detached one-bedroom guest house. The property taxes are $34,005 a year. That's a lot of property tax. Yeah. Now, the price is ambitious for the neighborhood, where comparable homes have sold between $1.5 and $2 million, according to Zillow. But Mr. Recchia, who's 65, the owner of Fourth Generation Construction, oh, so you can trust him. they actually built the house, as well as more than 20 in the development, says the value exceeds the brick and mortar, saying those things can't be quantified. I don't think you can quantify the intrinsic value of this home. Now, the house where Tony Soprano pulled into the long curved driveway in the opening credits was both a frequent filming location and inspiration for the meticulous replica of the interiors at Silver Cup Studios in Queens, New York. Scenes in the pilot episode were filmed in the home's kitchen, where the viewers first met Tony's long-suffering wife, Carmela, who I hate, and their children, AJ and Meadow. Tony, the sullen gangster with mommy issues, waded into the backyard pool with a family full of ducks and had a panic attack on the patio in the same episode. Now, while later indoor scenes were mostly filmed at a Silver Cup soundstage, the production crew returned to the home year after year for exterior shots, and so do some diehard fans. Mrs. Recchia said, I was pulling out of the driveway. I noticed a few fellas on their motorcycles coming down the cul-de-sac. So I opened my car window just to acknowledge them. And they say, hi, Mrs. Soprano. We're not going to mess anything up. We just wanted to take a couple photos. They'll pull up in like a limo or something, get out in a robe and pick up a newspaper. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, people are doing that. So $3.5 million and you can deal with that too. He said, we've met a lot of great people. Now, the house was one of 150 considered for the Sopranos home. That's according to one of the producers. Basically, what they determined was the look of the home was everything they were looking for. Now, today, the home, which was built in 1987, has undergone some cosmetic changes, but retains much of what made the property a character in its own right. The pickled oak cabinets in the kitchen are gone, but the long kitchen island that anchors the show's domestic drama still stands.
They got rid of the pickled oak?
They got rid of the pickled oak, yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, I guess you could put it back in. If you brought them down a little on the price, you could afford to put that pickled oak back in. Or they are actually contractors. You go into them and go, hey, I'll give you $3.4 million. You put the pickled oak back in. We'll call it a day.
We'll call it even.
Bada bing, bada boom. so On a recent tour, he played home videos of the cast filming the pilot episode in the kitchen. In another video, Jim Gandolfini joked poolside about not wanting to leave, saying, "I'll be here every Thursday at 7. So that if you want to live in New Jersey and you want to pay $34,000 a year in property taxes, there's your opportunity.
That's okay. I don't like the cold enough to live in New Jersey.
No, not even in a nice house. I mean, even if I had $34,000 a year to throw into property taxes, and again, that seems really high to me.
Yeah.
So I don't know that would be a good fit for what we're looking to do. All right. Let's see. Yeah, let's wrap this thing. We're going to wrap a little bit early, but there's only two of us, and you've got better things to do right now than just listen to us. So we'll wrap up with this.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Let's see. I hate this website because they've got a banner that covers the headline. But this is from Lake George, New York, where the residents of the town of Lake George will have a new aspect to their mundane visits to the town transfer station. Treasure hunting.
Treasure hunting.
Mm-hmm. Lake George Town Board member Marissa Mutatori, known for embracing environmental awareness and social responsibility, is establishing a self-serve free store at the town's transfer station. The concept was endorsed by Lake George Town Board at their May 13th meeting. There is a quaint shingles roof shed. Say that three times quick. I can't even say it once. Shingle roof shed, complete with flower boxes and decorative doors, that is being moved to the transfer station, where people can drop off quality items of value that they no longer need, and then others can adopt and take them home for free. So the free store will be similar to the Chester Reuse Center, for decades a popular destination in northern Warren County. This indoor facility, operated by the town of Chester, is next to its transfer station and recycling center, and has for many years hosted all sorts of gently used or new household goods, furniture, toys, small and large home appliances, sporting goods, and some tools. Most all the items are sorted and arranged on shelves, and clothing, both for children and adults, are hung neatly on the racks. Now, Lake George's reuse center will start out on a more modest level, as the shed measures only 10 by 10 feet. It's going to be spruced up and resituated at the transfer station and ready for donated items within the next, 4 to 6 weeks or so. Basically, a lot of people have things they might have received as a gift, but they've never taken them out of their original boxes. And many people are too busy to take the time to sell them on Craigslist. And the rules are still to be established, what will be accepted at the free store and what can't be dropped off. And that, it's going to have to be monitored. She said that giving away things to others is now trending with the millennial generation. If you don't use something, someone else might enjoy it. And giving it to someone else gives you a good feeling, rather than just chucking it into the garbage. So bring it to the dump, but not all the way there. would you go to the free shed?
I wouldn't, but my girlfriend would.
Oh, yeah.
She's done that. there's a app where you can do that. So she's done. It's not the free shed, but it's where people...
Yeah, there's a lot of free stuff. There's Facebook groups.
Yeah, so she's done that. So,
yeah, interesting. But that's the big news in Lake George, New York. Now that's gonna do it for this episode of the WTH podcast. If we're a little tired, if we sound a little tired, it's because we are. Back on Friday with another fresh new episode for you. Will Jason show up to record?
We'll find out.
I'm guessing no.
No.
I'm guessing not at all. But until then, you take care of yourselves and each other. And don't be an a-hole. We'll see you next time.